Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
We're going to talk about public health doctors, and they've confirmed plans for 3 days of strike action in January. And the Public Health Committee of the Irish Medical Organisation, the IMO, met today to consider the overwhelming 94% vote by public health doctors in favour of industrial action in their fight for parity of esteem with other parts of the health service. A statement from the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, said the Minister and the Department of Health are disappointed with this decision to take strike action. I'm sure they are. The Minister and the Department hope that the issue of the consultant status can be resolved through engagement. The creation of a consultant level role in public health medicine is priority for the Ministers, as public health specialists have waited for many years for consultant status. Now, by the way, you know what this is all about, don't you? It's about money. Because if they get consultant status, they get money. Don't get me wrong, when they're a doctor, they're very well paid. Extremely well paid. It's not like these individuals who are going on strike, you know, are you know, living on the breadline or something like that. We all know that doctors in this country get very well paid, and so consultants get better paid. Consultants can earn up to €300,000 or €400,000 a year, I suppose, if they have their own practice as well, private practice, and they're working in hospitals too. They can earn quite a substantial amount of money. I'm not, by the way, begrudging them that. They have worked long and hard and trained long and hard in college for many, many years at their particular field, and they deserve the money that they get, provided, of course, they're doing the job and servicing society. But I want to talk about the idea of strikes. This strike is about money. It's about getting, well, it's also been recognised, and a doctor's been recognised, so I don't want to take that away from them either. And I hope the issue is resolved. I think it's a really bad timing, by the way, to go on strike. The committee has decided to serve notice of industrial action on the HSE and the Department of Health, saying that there is no resolution to the issue. Thursday, the 14th of January, will be a one-day strike by specialists, specialist registrars and public health medicine. Thursday, the 21st of January and Friday, the 22nd, a two-day strike by specialists and specialist registrars and public health medicine. And I want to know today if you believe and you would support a nurse's strike, or if you think they should get on with their jobs, essentially. Nurses, doctors, people on the front line in general. Doctors, consultants, nurses. Garda Síochána, of course, are not allowed to go on strike. Members of Defence Forces, I don't believe, are allowed to go on strike. We have recognised over the last 8 months in particular that doctors and nurses are frontline workers. They're important to society. The bus driver is important to society. I don't believe the bus driver should be allowed to go on strike. We need buses to get people to and from work. They're vital services. The train driver is a vital service. All these people are in vital services. And I believe that people in vital services that keep our country moving should not be allowed to strike. There should be another way of dealing with industrial action. But maybe you disagree with me. I don't believe a doctor should be allowed to go on strike. And I believe, personally, any doctor who goes on strike, or any nurse who goes on strike, or any Garda Síochána, or any body in a vital service, I believe they should be struck off or fired. That's what I believe. Now, you might disagree with me, and I would like to hear from you if you disagree with me. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. So the question I'm really asking today is vital services, particularly doctors and nurses. Because they're the ones obviously affected by this. Do you, I mean, think about what we talked about yesterday. 600,000 people are waiting to see a consultant. 600,000 people are waiting to see a consultant because of COVID-19, a lot of it, because appointments have been put forward and cancelled. And now they're going to go on strike when we need them the most. Because of why? Because they want their status recognised as a consultant rather than a doctor. And they want to get more money for that. And they will get paid more money for that. So I want to ask you a question. I'm looking at some of the comments online. The timing of the strike is unfortunate, but recognition and reward are very important. And a system that treats members unequally needs overhaul. And I would agree with that as well. How ungrateful, after all the praise and applause. How dare they demand equality and a decent day's pay for a decent day's work. Okay, let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Do you support frontline workers in any role going on strike? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Dermot.
Yes, Niall.
Dermot, you know, it is a tough one. I mean, if you're a frontline worker, you know, it's a vocation, generally speaking. It's a job, you know, sometimes that's thankless, but you get well paid in most cases. I mean, teachers, doctors, nurses, Garda can't go on strike. You know, train drivers, bus drivers, should they be allowed to strike?
Well, the thing about it is that we need them. They are very, very important. But for years, the health system seems to be in chaos.
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, Dermot.
And it's never been sorted. You've had health executives piled on top of other things. A load of money being spent, but it's not possibly challenged to the right areas.
Bad administration. I would completely agree with you. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at it. Yeah.
Yes, and that's what's happened. And government, they seem to meddle in it, but they never really seem to address it. We've had our Taoiseach now was a Minister for Health at one time, but there was documents that he never got to see that were important at the time.
So essentially we're putting a plaster on the hole in the bucket, so to speak.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes. Constantly. And that's what's happening. And I think that doctors, nurses, they are fantastic people and they do a fantastic job, but we need them. And especially at a time like this, the government have got to talk to them and just sort it out and stop shilly-shallying about.
But it's the same. The teachers at some point there threatened to do a walk out there recently as well.
Well, the teachers.
But is it a case that particularly, you're right, at a time like this, can we not just put our grievances on hold until we get through this? Would that not be a better thing to do?
What I would say is the teachers seem to get always what they want.
I wouldn't say that, but go on, yeah.
Well, they to a point, yeah. They will get it because they are a very, very vital organisation and they're very well paid. They're not, you know, they're in the top three or four, according to the OECD, the teachers.
Yeah,
the
they are, you're right.
The
nurses aren't badly paid either in this country,
they're
by the way.
They
wouldn't be getting as much as they'd be getting in Dubai or somewhere like that. But they're getting, I mean, I remember looking at the money there recently. I think it's more than they get in the NHS. But there's better opportunities in the NHS for training, etc., and upskilling and stuff like that.
Just as we're talking about now, I hadn't had time to research it. In the NHS, are they allowed to go on strike?
Yes.
See? This is the thing, you know, that...
But they don't have as many strikes as we have. You don't hear as many teacher strikes and doctors and nurses strikes in the UK as you would in this country.
No,
Well, and I think a lot of that's to do with the opportunities, because if people aren't happy in a department in the UK, it's such a big population with a big industry, they can move to a different department. Whereas here, you're kind of stuck because it's a smaller, obviously smaller service industry and it's a smaller department. Okay, but the point is these doctors obviously want to be recognised as consultants realistically so they can get more money and charge more money.
And they're mostly female.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh yes, the doctors mostly female insist that they should enjoy better paid, higher ranked consultants posts and complain that the Department of Health has avoided proper talks for the last 5 months.
I didn't even see that figure, by the way, that you're quoting there. But did you know what is the percentage that would be female?
Well, I don't know. This is just what I'm reading from.
I didn't see that in the notes that I have here and the story that I have here. It doesn't mention gender. Well, maybe it's not even important, to be honest with you, whether they're male or female.
The
chair
is Dr. Ina Kelly.
That's right.
But anyway, right. The way that I look at it is, the doctors should not go on strike. They should be spoken to. And I mean, they're very, very responsible people. I have had a lot to do with doctors. I'll tell you one thing, Niall. You go to the private hospitals, the Beacon, the Mathers and all those. You'll have nothing like this ever seems to happen. Why does it happen in our public service?
Okay, that's a good point. We'll stay there for a second. Anne, you're on Classic Hits. How do you, Anne?
Hey, Niall, not too bad.
Good. We obviously talk about this particular story, but I don't want to just focus on this. Generally speaking, frontline workers, doctors, nurses, teachers, people who drive buses and trains and people that we need. Garda Síochána Khan, of course, can't go on strike. Do you believe they should be allowed to strike?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because I tell you something, because the government have been asleep for too long now, and they never have any money. I remember being in A&E and people on trolleys and all over the place.
Yeah, and well, only up to last year, yeah.
They didn't have money for this and they didn't have money for that. And all of a sudden, COVID-19, where did the money pop out of?
Well, we borrowed it.
Yeah, we borrowed it.
Yeah.
But why didn't we borrow it when there was people on trolleys, old people
absolutely.
On trolleys?
Absolutely. I mean, when we think back of what we talked about last year, and I remember a particular story that always reminds me of the times that went before us, now before this, where I spoke about an 84-year-old woman who on a chair who had was sitting in her own urine for 18 hours. Do you remember that story, the poor old woman?
Yeah.
And we allowed all that to happen. And probably, to be honest with you, when you think about this logically, more people probably died because of incompetence.
We're only the little people now. They're not going to listen to us. We don't... Else, the way they see it is, don't do as I do as I say. And that's the way it's gone. And I have to put my hand up and tell you that my GP was fantastic in the COVID-19. But I am attending a specialist, which I will not mention his name, and I have had to I haven't seen him since last December.
And why? Because all your appointments are being cancelled.
Fibrosis.
Yeah, okay. And your appointments are being cancelled, Anne, are they?
They only take 6 at a time.
Right, okay.
6
because
at a time.
Because of the COVID.
That's what I was told.
Because of the COVID.
And I persecuted them because I need to be able to get tested, my lungs tested, to see are they performing the way they should.
Right. Okay, and I hope that works out for you. And I know we spoke to you before, Anne, about your ailments, and I'm very, very sorry to hear you're having a difficult time. And you should be able to get to see a consultant. You should be able to have your lungs checked whenever you feel you need to get them checked. That's a good health service. But leaving aside all of that, I mean, essential workers, you know, they are essential and they're called essential for a reason, because if they go on strike, they have a knock-on effect in society. If I go on strike, for example, they'll just get someone else to replace me. So, you know what I mean? It doesn't have a massive knock-on effect.
That.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm not saying my job isn't important. Of course it is. But, you know, somebody else can replace me if I go on strike. But if a nurse goes on strike, nobody else can do her job.
Everybody's job is important.
Oh, I know. Everybody's job is important. But some people are harder to replace than others because of the training involved in their job.
Or that.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit of sitting down and talking.
I think the talking has been
ignoring them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think the case at the moment is, I suppose, in public health at the moment, Stephen Donnelly and the rest of them within the government are probably thinking to themselves, well, you know, this shouldn't be happening at the moment. Can they not just put it on hold until all this is finished?
Well, for what? For us to get all the... Please God, when the vaccine comes in, we all get the vaccine and then they forget about them again. So they can't go out and strike because they haven't got a leg.
I don't know. We should be all pinning our hopes on a vaccine, but go on anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. They threaten with a strike. Asher, let them.
Right. Okay. So you say absolutely if they're not getting what they want, you agree with strike. Just maybe not in the current climate.
But I do believe you have to stand up for your rights.
Oh, okay, all right. Let me just go to Ger as well, just before the break if I can. Ger, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Ger?
How you doing,
Ger, you've heard both Dermot and Anne, and, you know, Dermot believes it's ridiculous that they can't solve this problem without actually going straight there with true talks. But generally speaking, do you believe the frontline workers in any field should be allowed to go on strike?
I think if it's about working conditions, absolutely. Not about money. Like, you've lads here that are in ICU units working 16 hour days. Simply because they won't bring in extra staff, and they should have.
They don't have the extra staff.
But that's a different kettle of fish. For I'm just saying, these people have every right to complain about that situation. They can't. They can't get along with that situation, and then told the front line they're essential. They need to work 16-hour days. It's not right. They have the right.
Okay, but I do know somebody who's a nurse and who has worked in ICU and has worked in all the different departments. Right, has been in it a long time. The idea that all doctors and nurses are working 16 hours a day is a bit of a fallacy. And They do do 12-hour. They do. No, well, hang on. Some do every now and again. It depends on
the way they work shift.
Okay, but you understand why that happens sometimes, because they'll have a patient in with particular needs and they won't abandon their shift until they know that patient is in a safe position and somebody else. And that's just part. That's, Chair, in fairness, it's a vocation. That's part of the job. And by the way, Chair, can I point out, they still only do the same amount of hours. So if you do, say, 3 12-hour shifts, you're off for 4 days.
But come here, you can't drive a bus for more than 8 hours a day.
Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know.
Somebody's life for 12 to 16 hours a day or longer.
But you know, but again, I say to you, Jared, no, Jared, you're missing the point, Jared. There is a shortage of staff. There is a shortage of staff. But if you're with a patient who has particular needs, you're not going to leave them until you know that patient is safe. And if that takes 16 hours, it takes 16 hours.
That's not every patient.
No.
There's a few patients, but the 16 hours is quite common.
Okay, but getting back to this particular argument, this argument is over doctors not being recognised as consultants, who should be recognised as consultants. Right.
Again, I would go back to that's about money. And
it is about money, of course it is.
It should be taken off the table. It shouldn't be a striking issue. But I do think anyone should have the right to strike. And to be told you could lose your job for striking, that's a real bad.
Well, the guard of Shikana can lose it. A guard can lose his job for striking.
Yeah, nobody cares about them at the moment, don't they?
Well, they did go on strike. They've gone on strike twice.
Asking people where they're going. That's what their job is worth at the moment. How essential is that? So
yeah, well, they have. Where are you heading today? Is it an essential journey? No, I just came out with a crack.
A very important job they're doing, frontline workers. But when the Garda take on that position, they do sign an agreement saying they won't strike, don't they?
Well, they've had the blue flu twice.
Yeah. The blue flu is a different thing again, eh?
Dearman, do you remember the blue flu, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Most people do.
But they do make that agreement that they won't strike.
Oh, as do the Defence Forces as well.
I do definitely agree. If it's about working conditions, they have every right.
Even if they're a frontline necessary service, do you not think the fact that you become a doctor, nurse, teacher, a Garda, whatever it happens to be, that's considered to be an essential service by the state, and you're recognised as an essential service, you don't believe that you have some sort of responsibility to citizens to stay in your job?
State of silence.
Huh?
You know, that shouldn't lock them into a state of
silence. No, nobody's suggesting people should be silent. There should be another way of dealing with situations.
Strike should always be a last resort.
Okay, I get you. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number's 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp or text us. And if you want to, by the way, you can send us a WhatsApp audio message. Now, all you do is just click that little microphone on the bottom of the screen, and then what happens is it comes into us, Aisling edits it, and I play it.
Well, Niall, I'd like to argue with you on that point for a fact there, because you're saying these are all vital, vital workers, and they need the country to run with these people. Then why were they refused a pay rise by the government earlier on in the year when Eamon Ryan was asleep live on national television?
He was. Did he do it twice, actually? He kind of denied he did it the second time, didn't he? Had a snooze in the conference centre, or the temporary doll, as it was. Well, the pay rise they were looking for wasn't actually a pay rise, was it? They were looking for pay restoration. Which was what they were promised, by the way, last year, before we had COVID, of course. We all didn't envisage the problems we were going to have with COVID. And you have to understand, I suppose, that the government, you know, the pockets are emptying out very quickly. So money really isn't, you know, it isn't available to everybody who wants it. And I get that as well. I do understand what you're saying, but all I'm saying is, at this particular time, maybe striking is not the best solution in the world. And I am asking, should frontline workers, when you sign up to be a school teacher, or a nurse, or a doctor, or because school teachers, of course, have already put their bid in, you know, in relation to the vaccine, saying that they're frontline workers around the world, particularly in the UK, they've said it now, they've been included in the frontline workers. So if you're claiming your job is an essential job, and you're a frontline worker, and you're tapping yourself on the back because of that, surely then you have a responsibility and a duty to the people. And part of that duty should be that you don't abandon your position for money, for monetary reasons. Would that be fair? The number is 087-188-0008. Siobhan, you're on Classic Hits. Hi, Siobhan.
How you now?
Good. You having a good day?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you.
Do you reckon frontline workers, and I don't want to focus just on doctors and nurses. Obviously, the story today is about, you know, doctors who want to be consultants, earn more money, and they're going on strike in January. But, I mean, do you believe the frontline workers of any description should be allowed to strike?
Niall, that's a bit of a difficult one, right? Because I think at the moment, in the middle of a pandemic, right, they shouldn't strike, because the people won't forget if they lose loved ones during this, and there's no consultants there to help their loved ones who might be dying of cancer or any other illness, right? But I do feel that anybody that has, who thinks their grievance is serious enough, should have the right to strike if they want. But I just think the timing of this is wrong, and I don't think the people will back them.
Mm-hmm. They're probably not going to get a huge amount of public support, but they want obviously governmental support, because obviously they're going to leave the health service in a difficult position. Now, I don't believe for a minute, by the way, all these doctors and nurses are all going to just walk out on these days. There will be obviously skeleton staff, as there was with the nurses' strike. There'll be some available, you know. So, I mean, nobody.
Well, Niall, you have Dr. Odette every night on the telly telling us how many people are dying, how many people have COVID. Right, like there's going to be a bigger pandemic after all of this.
Absolutely,
right?
I couldn't agree with you more.
To be honest with you, my brother, right, was one of those statistics back in the last recession, right, that took his own life. Right,
I'm sorry to hear
and
this.
I'm going to tell you, right, that after all this and lockdown after lockdown, and people dying from COVID or what, and it'll be other illnesses, not only COVID. Right, people won't forget, and they won't like.
When did your brother take his life, Siobhan?
2011.
Okay, and was he in financial difficulty or?
I don't really know. No,
okay,
this day, I don't really know. If I'm honest, like he didn't.
Was he depressed? Was he depressed?
No, he hadn't been to a doctor for 8 years. So,
right. Okay. You know. So you had no indication.
He always seemed happy, go lucky.
What? A lot of people have said that to me. A lot of people have said that to me about friends or family that have taken their lives, that they had no sign. You know, they didn't seem depressed, and that's because generally speaking, they are the people that will do it. The ones that don't talk to anybody about it or don't discuss it with anybody.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
I think that's what men don't talk. But you see, I'm going to tell you now from being in the situation myself, from being left behind from someone who's taken their life, right?
Yeah.
I think that when this is all over, right, you're going to have more people who will have died by suicide and other illnesses than there has been by COVID. Now, and I know COVID is a stretch on the health service, but other things are as well.
Other things are important too, yes, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
As I said to your research, my mother hasn't been well, and she was in the hospital having some tests before COVID started. And like she has a tumour on her lung. Okay. And it hasn't been, like that was March, we were told this in February, right? And all our other appointments after that have been cancelled. And we only got back to see the consultant last Tuesday. Since February.
Oh my.
And they're telling her that she has a tumour on the lung. Now, he's not even going to do a biopsy because he said that she's too frail and doesn't think that she'd survive a biopsy. So we don't know whether this tumour she has is cancerous. And I feel that she's been just left on the long finger.
So you feel if it had been tackled a little bit quicker, a little bit sooner, that she might have had a better chance of having a longer life? Yes.
Okay. But you see, the thing is, all the clinics, like the clinics were cancelled within the hospital, and especially because she's in a respiratory...
Oh, I know, sure. I had a woman on the air, she had terminal cancer, and she gets treatment, obviously, to elongate her life, and all her treatments were cancelled, and this is going to shorten her life. I mean, we don't really know the damage we're going to do, but that's where we're going back off into COVID again.
The long-term damage is going
absolutely.
To be very severe.
Okay, so the point you're making is, you agree with strikes, but at this particular moment in time, the people, the professionals who are on the front line, be it the teachers, the doctors, the nurses, whatever it is, should take into consideration it's a difficult time for everybody. Just let's work through this and we'll sort out your grievances afterwards.
I don't, to be honest, I feel anybody should have their right to strike if they feel their grievance is serious enough, but I do feel the timing has to be right. But in saying that as well, Niall, our government is always putting things on the long finger. I mean, I don't understand why they have to wait till the shit hits the fan before they start intervening.
The HSE have been doing that for 30 years.
Yeah, they'll wait till the people are out on the picket lines before they start trying to intervene.
Okay, you're right. Stay there a second. Let me go to Bill as well. Bill, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Bill?
Niall, how's it going? You're well.
Good. Your wife is a nurse. Yeah, sorry.
My wife is a C&M 2 nurse, she's 2 days on, 2 days off. She leaves work. She leaves house in the morning at 7, doesn't go home until 10:30 at night.
Yep, it's a long old day, all right.
Bloody sure it is. Yep. She doesn't see the kids for 2 or 3 days on the trot. But strike, 100% back. 100% back them. And one of the other reasons I back them, Niall, as well, I'm sure other nurses have got this today in the post. My wife pays €100 a year registration fee for being a nurse. I don't know if you've heard of this. And
were they supposed to abolish that or waiver that back in March or something? Wasn't there something?
They didn't waiver. Right. She got the letter this morning. Now, I haven't read the letter, but I'm sure it's the same one that comes all the time. So that is an absolute disgrace to begin with. That's a shock.
No, she should. No, as long as you're an acting nurse and you're still in a job, you shouldn't have to pay a registration fee. It's ridiculous.
But she has to pay it and give the receipt into her HR department in the hospital she works in. She doesn't give that in.
No, the hospital should pay it or the government should pay it. Is she, by the way, is she working in a private hospital or in the HSE?
She works in a big hospital in South Dublin. I won't say which one.
No, but I mean, is it private or HSE?
It's a private hospital.
Now, see, the argument is if it's a private hospital, you know, having a registration is a fair thing. But if it's a public hospital, it should be paid for by the state, the registration.
Well, see, the hospital itself is paid is run by the state because it's for people with disabilities.
Okay.
So you, I don't.
Okay, no, that's fine. Don't go any further. Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Okay, and by the way, I am not saying, you know, for one minute that nurses sometimes don't have a tough and a long day. Of course they do. My own niece is a nurse, for God's sake, right? She's been a nurse for 25 years. So yeah. In saying that, I don't have a problem, you know, understanding that. But in saying that, you know, still at the end of the week, they do the same amount of hours. They're difficult hours, and it is a stressful job.
Absolutely. 100%.
But you know, in fairness, Bill, there are a lot of people listening today who'll say to you, Bill, well, your wife knew when she became a nurse what she signed up for. You know, we're not stupid. 100%.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Yeah. But that's like any job, no?
Yeah, of course.
Any job. If you go to any job, that's stress. Any job will give you stress. I'm sure your job does. Mine does. Everything does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as the doctor's going on strike because you want to be classed as a consultant, I can kind of see both sides of the argument there because...
Well, they want more money, is what it is.
Well, we all want more money, no?
But I mean, it's not like doctors are on the bread line, with the greatest respect, Bill.
Mm.
I mean, doctors are well paid.
Of course they are. But they want to be called consultants because at the end of the day, if you go to a doctor for you've hurt yourself, you're going for a consultation, i.e. consultant.
Yeah, but hold on. But you're going to a doctor, a GP, it's £55. You go to a consultant, it's £160. There's a bit of a difference.
So do you want more money? In other words, do you want to charge you £160?
Yeah, they want to charge you more money. Yeah, of course. And they want to charge the HSE more money when they're working in the hospitals.
Yeah, well, they're going to get it. There's no two ways about it. I mean, do they deserve it? Over the past 12 months, I'd have to say yes. Should they go on strike?
I don't get me wrong. I don't understand the ins and outs of it. But my understanding always was a consultant was somebody who specialised in a specific field.
Well, that was my understanding.
Yeah, well, that's what always my understanding. Yeah. Not just the fact that you're a doctor, so all of a sudden you become a consultant. And I don't think every doctor wants to be a consultant. But no, I mean, it's clearly about money, Bill.
Absolutely, 100%. But I'd wonder what the percentage of doctors who agree to this is a high.
Well, they voted. 94% vote by public health. 94% vote by public doctors in favour of industrial action.
I didn't think it was that high now.
There you go.
But look, you know, as the other lady said, they'll lose a lot of public sympathy, you know, if they do go out and strike. But if you think about it, Niall, they're actually doing it at a time where they know they get it.
It's like a load of solicitors getting together and saying we want to be barristers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to simplify it too much. But, but you know, so we can charge more money.
I always ask this. I was a barrister.
Oh, there you go. No, there's a few years training, extra training, I believe, in that one. Yeah. All right, no, I get what you're saying. I get what Siobhan is saying too. Listen, thanks very much indeed, Bill. And I'm sure your wife does work hard. And I'm sure everybody on frontline, by the way, works hard. And by the way, let's just broaden this out. Everybody, I'm sure, in the country, the guy who works the checkout in Tesco's works hard. You know, they do a hard 8-hour day or whatever it is, or some of them will do overtime and do 10 hours, particularly this busy time. You've got some of the shops at the moment opening 24 hours to service people because obviously we've had a lockdown for 6 weeks. They're all going to be working hard. People stacking the shelves work hard. I mean, it's an equally difficult job to stack shelves all day in a supermarket as it is to be working in a hospital. And I know people are going to give out to me for saying that, but it's just, as you know, tiring. You come home absolutely knackered at the end of the day, just like every job. I mean, we all have an important role. If somebody doesn't stack those shelves, we don't have goods. We don't get goods, we don't have food. We don't have food, we die, or we end up in hospital. And the nurse looks after us. So it is a vicious circle, and everybody's job is important in society. Yes, even mine. Somebody said, Niall, your job is not important. Well, it is, because I start a conversation, don't I? A lot of you are going to go home today to your friends and family, and you'll talk about doctors and nurses. See what I mean? We're going to start another conversation in a few minutes. Do you ever hear the saying, it's a man's world?